That's the same thing for everybody. Everybody plays a lot of games. Obviously, we play definitely a lot more on the road, but it's no excuse. I mean, we have the rest that we need. We were there. We were right there, and we just sit back.
And the goal that was allowed, what did you think of that? Did you think the stick was a little bit high?
Yeah, I mean, on the replay, the stick is definitely high. Obviously, it's a fast game for everybody, so it's a hard decision, and they need to be 100%. But, I mean, it's above our pay grade, I think. The ref are doing a good job, and they thought it was a good goal, and it's fine.
The rebound tomorrow, you come right back 5 o'clock tomorrow against the Kings. You just put this one behind you?
Yeah. I mean, midnight's a new day, and we need to come back strong tomorrow.
Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la, 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 la.
I love it, Mags. The Italian Christmas Donkey. One of the best holiday songs ever. It's outstanding. And hey, you just heard Jonathan Marchessault talk about last night's, or I should say yesterday afternoon's game at T-Mobile Arena. A loss to the Montreal Canadiens, a disturbing loss. Well, hey, it's 8 o'clock Sunday morning, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, flagship station of the 2018 Western Conference champion Vegas Golden Knights. We are streaming on the LV Sports Network. And if you're listening for the first time, this is Out of Line. And we are right here every Sunday morning at 8, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio in Las Vegas. I'm Brian Feldman, and joining me today to help pull the sled, yes, there was pun intended, is Alan Snell, the founder and main contributing writer of LVSportsBiz.com, 150,000 plus subscribers strong and growing every single day. And here, as always, producer, Lotus Broadcasting sports personality, and Vegas Golden Knights radio locker room correspondent, Chris Magnum Chapman. You can follow us on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM and like the show on Facebook. That's Out of Line, OUTTA. LINE. If you want to watch the show, we are on Facebook Live. Check out any one of our pages. And callers are welcome. The Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is sponsored by the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com. On tap, again, as I mentioned, Alan Snell, founder of LVSportsBiz.com, has his book on the shelves, and he'll be in studio right now, which he is to your right, to my right on your radio dial. He'll be telling you where you can get a copy of that book. Also, the Vegas Golden Knights' six-game home winning streak came to an end last night. You just heard Jonathan Marchessault. We'll have more on that. Chris also talked to Braden McNabb. Pretty good interview. I was standing there. You'll hear that as well. And the Runner Rebels win their second game in a row, this one in Hawaii. It was a pick 'em, but I was surprised. And it is week 16 in the National Football League. We'll be talking about the matchups for the playoffs, and we'll be doing our picks of the week. And also, the aspiring future of auto racing is blazing today, and it'll be here in studio. You'll check it out. Some very young guys that are very talented. What's on Tap does come your way thanks to our title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Again, check out cardinalfinancial.com. And, Alan, I want to start off talking to you, man. First of all, welcome to the show. We've been trying to get you in here for a while. Screw up last week. We didn't get you in the door, but you've been on the road. You've done some book signings and a whole life-changing situation for you recently.
Yeah, it's been a really remarkable last 2 to 3 weeks since the book has been released. I was in Florida, in Tampa, in Vero Beach, Florida, at book signings, and I've been to about 3 or 4 book signings here in the Las Vegas metro area. And the message is really simple. Well, there's 2 or 3 kind of messages in the book, and that is, you know, if I can get through a kind of a tough time, you can as well. So I talk about LVSportsBiz.com being the vehicle for me to move forward and put the crash behind me. Just for a background, a distracted motorist slammed into me from behind going about 40 miles an hour, and we were just talking off air right before we went on about how it was a miracle I wasn't killed. I mean, sadly, there's so many bicyclists killed in the state of Florida and across the country by motorists who are distracted or drunk or angry or speeding. And I almost became one of those statistics on March 7th, 2017, and decided to turn my whole life around. 3 months later, I was back in Las Vegas, and I had launched LVSportsBiz.com, which is covering the business side of all our sports development and teams and stadium and arena development and sports sponsorships and all kinds of stuff going on now. And I hope people read the book. It's only $12 a piece. And it takes you from the crash. The first chapter brings you from the crash, and it ends with my return to Las Vegas, biking up to the Red Rock Scenic Drive on the Overlook, the emotions of that that big journey, and then just some basic thoughts and suggestions on getting through some tough physical traumas.
You know, Alan, a bunch of lessons. I really enjoyed at the very beginning of your book, the foreword, and you said, man, he should have written the whole book. It was good. But he ended with one of your very powerful lessons, and it's amazing how many people still don't do this, but that helmet saved your life, without question.
Yeah, you're actually looking at the helmet.
I am. It's pretty cool. Check this out. Yeah. If you got Facebook Live right now, you can see this on Facebook Live, the crack in this helmet. And right there, you're looking at what saved a man's life. No question about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, bicyclists should always wear helmets. But I also want to get the word out to motorists, too. You're going to have to change your behavior. You know, when I was driving to the station today, I was listening, to the programming. It had to do with Nevada Highway Patrol officers getting impaired motorists off the road. And we have to say enough is enough as a country. There are too many innocent people being killed and injured, families torn up because of motorists who are impaired, distracted, speeding, angry, not paying attention, basically sick. You are operating a 2-ton missile on wheels. And the kind of devastation your vehicle does to pedestrians and bicyclists is profound. So we as a nation have to decide that we have to educate our motorists better. We have to regulate people who have licenses better. And we have to punish better because it hurts too many people on the road. So my message is when you get behind the wheel, focus 100% and realize that every single person you're passing on a bicycle, walking, or a fellow motorist, they have families and brothers and all kinds of relatives who get hurt when you hurt the people, innocent people on the road.
Oh, well, no question. I mean, it's inspired me to, one of the things of what you do, it inspires me to, get out there. I have a mountain bike at home, and I've thought a lot about riding myself. One thing I won't do is ride in Florida, though. You've definitely scared me out of that state. But, all the things you mentioned, that guy, Dennis Brophy, who's the guy that hit you, 64 years old at the time, a guy that suffered from sleep apnea, a guy that really should not have been operating a motor vehicle and said he was basically giving himself some kind of a breathing treatment while he's driving, completely didn't see you because some bright light that somehow the sun must have been hitting some kind of mirror, or there's no way it was blinding him. But that was the story he gave, and this guy walked away without a ticket. Now, he's paid the ultimate price. He's no longer on this earth. But in the same respect, how frustrating was it when you woke up, you got all the facts, you saw the police report, and you realized nothing at all had happened to this guy?
Yeah, that's on the punishment side. I was really upset when the motorist didn't receive a ticket for basically slamming his car into me from behind. And he admitted to the officers that he was not paying attention, that he was careless. He's reaching for a breathing inhaler, has sleep apnea, blinded by a light, gave every excuse in the book. And the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office explained their reason for not giving a ticket to this distracted driver. First of all, in the state of Florida, you're required to pass a bicyclist by a minimum distance of 3 feet. He slammed into me from behind, and a witness saw this coming. Yeah. He was a driver coming from the opposite direction.
James Pedra, right?
Yeah.
Thank God for him.
Yeah, he actually was the one who called 911. The driver didn't even call 911. It was actually the motorist witness who called 911.
Crazy.
But my point about the sheriff's office was that in this case, their argument for not giving a ticket to the driver was that he did not wake up that morning with the intention to drive over me that day. And you know, that's just kind of
how moronic is that, even of an explanation? Listen, he's Alan Snell, founder, main contributing writer, LVSportsBiz.com. It's awesome. He's going to be here with us all show. The book is right here. If you're looking on Facebook Live, Long Road Back to Vegas. Alan was kind enough to give me a copy. Really appreciate personalized and autographed it for me. And as I said, it really is an easy read, a good read, an inspirational read. And I recommend it. I really do. And it's amazing, you know, and we're going to it's a good transition, Alan, because a big inspirational part of this book did come from the Vegas Golden Knights and what they did.
Right.
All of us here got to witness something, nothing short of miraculous when it comes to the world of sports.
The second half of the book really goes into my original reporting of the Vegas Golden Knights, their season, because covering them really allowed me to move forward and just put what happened behind me in the rearview mirror. And check out even if you're not into bicycling or any of that stuff, I think there's some really great original reporting on the Golden Knights' first season. And don't forget, this market is on fire when it comes to sports development. I also go into detail about the Raiders Stadium construction going on, the creation of the new Las Vegas Aces WNBA team, the new Light soccer team, the racetrack, the Speedway getting a second NASCAR event, which is a huge, and also the construction of a new ballpark for the AAA team in town. I go into detail a lot about our sports market here within the broad umbrella of launching LVSportsBiz.com and really having that as an emotional anchor and vehicle to move forward, which is my theme. And in the book, I tell people, when you go through these things, you never really get over it, and you don't really move on per se. What you do is you have to move forward. That's the language I use. In fact, when I was going back through the book and I was looking for typos, looking for any kind of problems, I actually changed the language a couple times. Even I fell into the trap of saying, oh, you just kind of move on. And you don't really move on when you go through these things. They'll always be with you. What you're doing is you're moving forward. And I was just so upset and so bitter about what happened was I harnessed all that energy into moving back to Las Vegas and in writing the book. And also, one final thing I want to point out was that the first month after the crash, I had some serious concussion problems, really bad symptoms. I could not focus on information. I kept on asking questions over and over again. And the exercise of writing a book to me was very cathartic, but also it was a validation that I could focus and be disciplined to do something for an extended period. Everyone has a book inside them. It's just a matter of sitting down and having the focus and commitment and discipline to execute it. And that's what to me was a great exercise for me, was that the fact that I was able to sit down and write the book to me showed that I was past, you know, the concussion and the symptoms that really I was kind of concerned about the first month. I couldn't focus, and also I was wondering if I could even ride a bicycle again after during the first month. And you know, I don't ride the bike as fast or as vigorously as I once did, but I can still bike up to the top of the Red Rock Scenic Loop and the Overlook. And I talk about that in the last few chapters of the book.
Definitely check it out. Alan Snell, LVSportsBiz.com, author, Long Road Back to Vegas. I highly recommend it. And hey, maybe we'll even give away a copy here on the show, man. That'd be kind of cool. Mags, let's hit the button, man. It is time for Nightcap.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
It is Nightcap, and yesterday, the Vegas Golden Knights, you know, it was like almost waiting for the storm to happen. Chris, Alan, you guys were both there last night, but it just felt as the Vegas Golden Knights were getting outshot in every period. They just seemed lethargic. It wasn't the same team that had won six straight home games at T-Mobile Arena.
They just rely on Fleury to basically take the team on his shoulders to the finish line.
I said something on my friend's show on Friday on a station up the dial a little bit. I had mentioned that I was concerned that it sounds like a good thing that the Vegas Golden Knights get the home games in the holidays, but I think when you're on the road at the holidays, you're a little bit bitter. You've got a little bit of a chip on your shoulder, and you might focus a little more than when you know you get to go home and you're thinking, my relatives are in town, they're all watching the game. And it almost looked like the only one really dialed in was Marc-Andre Fleury. He did all he could to win the game, but he couldn't do it by himself. Almost doubled up in shooting, 47 shots to 26 if you count the overtime. And the third period was really indicative of how bad the game was to me. 15-5, they were outshot in the third period. And eventually it just caught up with them.
And you know what? He almost took them to the finish line. I think Montreal scored with, what, about a minute and change to go in the game?
Yeah.
I mean, he literally almost won the game for
the team. Regulation.
Yeah.
And the 3-on-3, it just looked like the Vegas Golden Knight were playing not to lose. And especially when they got the third goal. Kind of upsetting. We did think there was a goal that you did hear Jonathan Marchessault talk about. Also, Chris had a chance to talk to Braden McNabb, and one of the questions he posed to him, which you'll hear throughout the interview, was again the high stick goal that did end up counting, did end up being part of Deneau's hat trick, which was quiet. It was really a quiet hat trick the guy got, but it was a goal that we felt was played with a high stick, and it wasn't called that way. It was called a goal on the ice. The goal stood up, and ultimately you can say that's what won the game for them. And this is the interview Chris had with Braden McNabb.
Braden, tough one tonight. What did those guys do so well? They got 47 shots on you.
They took it to us, especially in the first. They shoot a lot of pucks. They get pucks on that, and they go to the net hard, and, they're a smaller group, but they're feisty, and they play hard, and they get to the dirty areas, and, they did that better than us today. And, there's a point Flower, gave us a chance to win, and, it's tough. It's a tough point to give up, but at the end of the day, we got 1 point, and, we got a reset, and we got a game tomorrow.
It's very rare that a team comes in here and scores a late goal like that. Does that kind of take you guys a little bit out of your game a little bit when something like that, because it's so rare in this building?
No, that just happened tonight, so we move on. Game tomorrow, so focus on tomorrow. We got the 1 point, would have liked to, but didn't happen, so that goal doesn't mean anything going forward.
And then that goal that they reviewed for the high stick, what did you see on that? What did you think?
I don't know. It's tough. I was on the bench, so, I didn't have the best view. It's tough for them to make that call. You'd think by now there'd be technology or something for that, but, it's a tough job, especially when they call it a goal on the ice, so it's tough to reverse it, but, I don't know. I didn't see it clear enough to.
Braden McNabb talking with Chris yesterday after the game against the Montreal Canadiens, a game that a lot of people expected the Golden Knights to get both points. They're happy to get a point out of it. Really were.
But every point is so valuable this year in this division. I mean, it's going to be a dogfight. I mean, you have Calgary playing much better this year, San Jose, obviously, Anaheim. And, people, the Golden Knights got 1 point instead of 2 points. But every point is just so valuable in this division this year.
Well, it is. And what about a guy like Brandon Perry? Perry comes in and 3 goals in the last 2 games, 2 yesterday against Montreal. And I'll tell you, the one big knock on Perry, Chris, is his ability to play defense and to be a two-way player. And I think on the second line, he really has some great examples of two-way players to lead from. But Perry is aware of the fact that right now he is showcasing himself to stay on this team. Once Pacioretty gets healthy, he's the likely candidate to be bumped. And I don't know, man. I mean, putting the puck in the net is a big part of this game, but you also have to be a two-way player to play for Gerard Gallant.
Yeah. And Brandon Perry is a guy Gerard Gallant knows. He played with him in Florida.
Yep.
And the thing is, he worked really hard this year in the AHL to become a better two-way player, because I think he knows the only way he's getting on this team is to be a two-way player. Now, the good thing is, and the coaching staff were aware of this, so they were able to mask his inability a little bit on defense by putting him with Riley Smith and Paul Stastny, who are two really good defensive forwards. Paul Stastny, the guy's vision on the ice, and it was something I talked to him about on Friday, his vision on the ice is second to none. I mean, he sees things that nobody sees, and one of the things he elaborated on was saying that He doesn't really watch video. He watches the plays. And he remembers the plays, and he doesn't watch the puck. He's
crazy.
He watches where the puck should go.
But how do you not watch video in today's day and age?
Because
it's so surprising. I guess it was
the day that the way that his dad taught him how to play. Uh-huh. And he brought up something. He goes, hey, do you remember second shift or second period, third shift you took? You did this. And he's like, I knew right away I did something wrong. So his dad was a great NHL player, his uncles as well. And
great vision.
Yes.
Great and vision. And Peter Stastny, great vision.
And it was something.
Great ice presence.
Yeah, something that was passed down to him. But Brendan Peary, look, he's got, what, three goals in the two games he's played? You know, what I took away from McNabb was there was disappointment, but it was also, hey, you know what? These guys came in and they played better than us and they deserve the win. And what I also take from that and listening to Gallant, listening to Jonathan Marsh, so these guys, they don't cry about the things that go against them. The high stick happened. The call was wrong. And they move on from it. Like Gallant said, that's not why they lost the game. And McNabb was very politically correct.
Yes, it is.
Well, it is. But those guys aren't going to say that. They're not going to cry about
it. No, that I like what you're saying, but the bottom line is you don't have to cry about it. We'll cry about it for them.
And, you know, the funny thing is I talked to Dave Gosher, who's the TV voice of the Golden Knights after the game last night. And my question to him, and he's obviously been around the game a long time. He grew up in Boston. He was with the Bruins for a long time. So he knows the game. And I guess the ruling was that they couldn't find an angle where they could see that the stick was high above the crossbar to basically prove that it was a high stick.
Oh, God.
But the question I had to him was, is it kind of a goofy rule? And I want you to answer because I know you know the game really well. The guy is – Denault is 6'1", 6'5 on skates. The blade of his stick where the puck makes contact is at his shoulder.
It was above his shoulder. It was at his head.
Yeah.
It was at his head.
So when you consider that the crossbar is 4 feet.
And that's where it's supposed to be. You are not supposed to be able to detour the puck or change the direction of the puck above the crossbar with your stick, or it is considered being played with a high stick.
So my question to you is, even if you cannot see the crossbar in the view of the stick, knowing that he's 6'5 on skates,
yeah, I mean, come on.
How could you say it's inconclusive that the puck didn't change direction? And, you know, and one of the things Dave said was what they need to do is they need to put a camera in the crossbar.
And why not? I mean, they've got one everywhere else now. Yeah. You're using replay for everything. Why wouldn't you have one on the crossbar?
Yeah, that's a great idea. But, you know, this team realizes that, guess what? They got to wake up and play another game today. They just don't have time to kind of like, you know.
Well, that's the point.
There's a 5 o'clock face-off against the LA Kings today, and they need these 2 points.
100%. Listen, we are up against it. I want to take a break. But, Mags, real quickly, you heard what I said about the holiday thing. It's not – I haven't heard a lot talked about that. But, again, people think it is an advantage to be home for the holidays. I really think when it comes to competitive nature, it's a disadvantage because I would rather be playing angry if I want to win than playing all relaxed and calm and like, oh, I get to go home and spend time with the family and said, damn it, I got to get home, go get on a plane and go to another venue. It's the holidays. What do you think, Chris? You think that could be something where there's something to be said? Because Montreal, to me – forget about the last time they played him this season. This was 2 points that I thought was a lock.
I didn't think so because I think Montreal, they're a scrappy team.
They're a good team.
And they are a good team. And, you know, unfortunately.
They are right now. They're in the playoff picture
for
sure.
This, unfortunately for them, they play in a conference that.
Tough.
The tough conference. Yeah, and the absolutely. Thing is, they play similar to the Golden Knights. No, they play a similar style, and
they do. They'll be here. Here's the thing: we do got to take a break. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I say they'll beat the Kings today. I do think they'll rebound. I think that it was a tough game, but I'll tell you this, and I'm going to stand by this forever. I'll argue about it with anyone. Far be it for me to question coaching or general manager or anything, but you cannot have Marc-Andre Fleury play 70 games. After Subban came in last week, it cut it down to, I think, where he's averaging, where it looks like he's going to play 70 games. I said the most he's ever played in his career, I think, is 67 games. This is ridiculous for a guy that's going to be 35 years old and several concussions deep into his career. I don't know how this is happening, but it is. Listen, let's take a break. On the other side, we've got Fact This, a little UNLV basketball, and we've got some future perspective, guys that you'll see either in NASCAR, maybe in IndyCar, coming up, young kids that are going to be in studio. It's really cool. If you're not watching Facebook Live, check that out. And also a little bit later on, we've got the NFL pick segment coming up. Chris was right on last week, and he jumped back into first place with Caleb Herring. This is Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio. We're here in the Cardinal Financial Fox Sports Radio studio. We'll be right back.
This is why I'm hot.
Yeah, it's hot in here, only because it's pretty cool. This is Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. They are a Hail Mary pass from Centennial Hills Hospital. Two happy hours every day, and you know it is America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. We're there every Monday night, with tomorrow night being the last Monday night football game of the season. The Denver Broncos head to the future Las Vegas Raiders, although this game's going to be played up in Oakland, and it might be the last game in the Oakland Coliseum. All kinds of litigation issues up there. That's for another time and another show. But right now in here, we have the future of auto racing, man. This is pretty cool. Chris, I don't know if you've seen this. I've got to go and watch some of these things, but right now in studio, and I'm going to name them all off. I've got a cheat. I got a cheat sheet here to get all the names, but check out the ages of these guys. I've got Douglas Creasy the second. I've got Luke, and pronounce your last name for me so I don't mess it up.
Siambra.
I don't want to mess that up. I butcher names all the time in the studio. And he's 13. Gage Musa, who's a little bit shy, 8 years old. This kid is going over 60 miles an hour in a car at 8 years old. People, if he were to race us on a go-kart track, any of these guys, they would lap us in like a three-lap race. That's how good they are, understanding the lines, drafting all these things. And I said this also, and on the phone, by the way, we also have Alex Mercado and his dad, Carlos, as well. Alex is nine, and he's a champion in Utah. But listen, if... It's amazing when you see this, and I've said this about all sports. I think certain things we're born with. We're born with a certain skill levels, and with something like this, like talking to Dave, who is Dave Musa, who's Gage's father, and Dave, of course, is a manager at Buffalo Wild Wings. I get to see him every Monday night, and we talk several times about this. And to be 8 years old and have the wherewithal to be able to do something starting at that age and go that speed. I mean, most kids are afraid to ride a bike very fast at that age. And yet you guys are with your hair on fire over 60 miles an hour. It's incredible, and it takes something special. And when do you realize that you want to be a race car driver, you want to drive cars? How? I mean, 13, 15, when did you guys decide this? Go, either one of you, go ahead. Go ahead. I believe, is this Doug? Douglas, right?
Yeah, okay, this is Douglas. You don't really realize it at first. You kind of, you know, find it. It finds you, more or less. I got into karting because my dad bought me a kart after we quit motocross. And, you know, we would go into the parking lot and stuff and, you know, just run laps. And I got hooked eventually.
And I mean, but what is it? You get in there. Is it fear or is it excitement? What do you feel inside when you're going that fast and understanding that I'm sure you've been in some wrecks. You've had to have been.
Yes.
At 15 years old, probably some ones that would scare a lot of people out of the sport. How do you just pick it up and keep going, man?
It's just that drive to go fast again. It's just, you feel the adrenaline rush, especially when you're in the hunt for another driver, trying to get their position. It's just a feeling that you can't get away from.
And you just put a crash right behind you and get back in.
Of course.
Like the old riding the horse thing again. And Luca, a little bit younger, 2 years younger, 13 years old. What's the thrill for you?
Well, I just love it when... you're just in the cart and you're just pushing to the limit. It's the adrenaline that you have when you're on the edge and you're just finding it and keep going forward.
Finding it on the edge. I hear all these things. Pushing the outer edge of the envelope. There's all kinds of cliches you can use. Doug Creasy the first, and he is a mechanic. He builds these machines. And I've been corrected many times when I call these automobiles or cars. They're machines. They really are. It's different from just your typical automobile, just the maintenance and what you're doing. But first of all, what got you into the sport? And is there a fear? Because, you know, I played all sports. I never drove cars. As a matter of fact, it's pretty crazy. I'm getting ready to do the Formula One experience on March 15th at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and I can't wait. But getting you into it, and the reason I'm saying that is when my son went to play contact football, it was like I understood why my mother never watched me. I love the game, but she couldn't stand it, the fear of me getting hurt. And when my son took his first big pop, when he was like 9 years old in Pop Warner, it scared the hell out of me. And I'm like, wow, now I get it why my mom said that. I couldn't imagine putting my kid behind a wheel of a vehicle that goes 65 miles an hour at 15 years old, let alone at 8 years old.
Well, it's scary. I got into racing because of my dad. I got into motocross. I raced motocross my whole life. I turned pro. Didn't really pan out, got hurt. When I had kids, I didn't want them to get hurt, but I still wanted to go racing. We discovered karting, and my son kind of just built it there for me. You know, we started going to the track, started racing with other kids. Other kids weren't getting the help there, so we started building our program, helping other kids, because it's no fun when your kid goes there and wins. You want to see other kids compete, because that's sure. what they're there for. So started helping other kids, and it just started formulating from there and really built into where we're at now with a whole team like this, you know, traveling and going racing.
It's awesome. Really cool. Alex, you're on the phone there, 9 years old. What's the thrill of racing for you?
Hi.
Hi, everyone.
What do you love about racing, Alex?
I love about the speed, the sport, the friends, the mechanics, the teamwork, and
the thrill of it. I get it. And Carlos, I'll ask you the question. I want Dave to grab a mic here as well, because you've got the younger statesman here. Alex is 9. Gage is 8. For you guys as parents, how much of it is fear, how much of it excitement, and how much is it that my kid just has a gift and I want him to do this? Go ahead, Carlos, you first, since you're on the phone, then I'll let Dave go after you.
Well, thanks for having us. We all enjoy motor sports over TV, and then one day when your son tells you, I want to try that, you give it a shot, and you go with them, you have some fun, and then all of a sudden you start seeing some raw talent being built up, and with the help of such an awesome team and co-drivers, they start to just enjoy the life and the life right there in the track. It's so different for them. They come out of school and they just want to go racing. And then we travel together. We spend so much time together, as I mentioned, as a team. And the kids, they basically love every minute of it. They love the speed. They love the adrenaline. And they love the teamwork and the environment around all this. So it's just a great feeling. Hopefully we can continue to support them for as long as we can.
I think it's incredible that you guys do support them, that you're doing this, and I'm actually going to get out and see some live races. I think it's awesome, and like I said, I think by what I've, talking to Dave, and that's been my knowledge of the sport and getting in at the ground floor of it and at this level, and it is something special, and I think, talking about the simulator that you talk about your son that he's done, and that kind of led you to this, but you talked about the accident, and we are short on time as I'm getting signaled, but you talked about the accident and he had not long ago, and it did have you a little bit worried, number one, his mentality, but it seemed he was more ready to get back in the car than you were ready to put him back in it.
Yeah, they bounced right back. We got a GoPro on his car, and he got hit pretty hard by 4 or 5 cars, went up in the air, and he jumped right back in, man. He jumped back out, actually had a couple of the fastest laps of the day right after the accident, so they're like Gumby. They don't get hurt. They bounce back. But they're in a lot of protective gear, and the tracks are pretty safe. Cars are in top-notch condition, thanks to Doug. So we do everything we can do before we put them out there to give them, the safest experience they can, and then the rest is kind of up to them. But it's really exciting. Gage has been into racing since he's 2. He got into Monster Jam and NASCAR, and that's all he cares about. Doesn't care about team sports one bit. He just wants to race. He's been itching to do this for a while. We got him into it this year, and before the first race, the night before, we're getting the cart ready. It kind of hit me as a dad. Man, what am I doing? Putting my kid in all this full set of protective gear, helmet, suit, gloves, shoes, rib protector, chest protector, all the stuff. But once he was out there going, it was the most proud moment I've ever had as a dad to see my kid do that, because I couldn't have done it. I could not have done what these kids do when I was 8 or 13 or 15. So
I don't know if I could do it now. I mean, it's it really is. It really is a pretty incredible thing. And listen, we are short on time, but I want to ask you, Doug, can you let them know how people can get involved in this? And if you find out your son or your daughter has a knack for something like this, how do they get involved and get started?
One of the first things I would do is go online, check it out, Google karting. With a K, not with a C.
What is it called now, the actual type of kart?
Kart racing. That's what we do. We don't go-kart. It's not referred to that anymore.
No, I don't say go-kart. I learned it.
It's kart racing. It's really the predecessor to open-wheel racing. You know, it really is. I would tell people to go online.
Is that the ambition? Is it? Do they know if they want to do NASCAR or open wheel? Do they have any idea at this age? Or right now it's just going fast and that'll develop as time goes on?
I think most of the kids on my team, they would take any ride they were offered.
Okay.
You know, rally, whatever. They would just be more than thrilled to drive anything for a living.
Ready for funny cars.
Anything.
Whatever it is.
You know, you pay them to drive a lawnmower, they'll do it.
Well, check out kart racing. These guys in town, I want to thank all you guys for coming in. It really cool, and I could spend an entire show on this. Again, Doug Creasy Sr. is the guy, the mechanic, puts these cars together and can tell you all about this stuff. We've got his son, who's 15 years old, a champion. We've got also Luca, and one more time, say your last name. I'm going to get that right.
Ciambra.
Ciambra. I like it. I'd get it wrong. And then, of course, Gage Musaw, who is 8 years old and on the phone, Alex Mercado and his dad, Carlos. Alex, 9 years old. Pretty incredible. Really cool stuff, and I appreciate you guys coming in today. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us in.
Absolutely. Chris, real quickly, we are going to morph into the NFL. It is week 16, and all kinds of playoff implications going on this week. I think we're in for an exciting day. You pulled off the only victory last week. You called it. I got to give you all kinds of props. You really called it. You did it well. And when you picked the Titans, and they blew out the Giants. Giants didn't score a point. I was surprised at that. So me and Caleb Herring did not do so well. Caleb said the Packers were going to beat the Bears. He was wrong. And I thought with Mark Butt Fumble Sanchez, quarterback in the Redskins, you were for sure going to see Jacksonville win that game. But they ended up pulling Butt Fumble, and the Redskins ended up winning that game.
Yeah, it was... an exciting week. We're getting close now to the playoffs, and you said it. You're wearing your Ray Lewis T-shirt, and you got to watch out for the Baltimore Ravens because this team is a completely different team now with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. You said he's a wild card. I said earlier in the year I think he would be starting at this point in the season. Looks like I was right on that. And they went to Los Angeles yesterday. They beat the tar out of the Chargers, and their defense is playing well. They're a good team. They really are.
Like I said, this is one of those years.
And John Harbaugh will be back next year. So the hope that my Jets
would be back.
The hope that he would be fired and my Jets would be able to go out and get a real coach. That's
what gone. Are you looking for? The guy is just a winner. I mean, he's won a Super Bowl, but I got to tell you, I did say that at the beginning, and I am wearing the Ravens jersey because this is going to be one of those years where that old saying, defense wins championships, in my opinion, is going to come into play. It is going to be a team that plays the best defense that is going to win this year's Super Bowl because all these teams, you are starting to see the injury bug come up and bite some of these teams and some misfortunes. A guy like the Kansas City Chiefs losing Kareem Hunt.
Patriots losing Josh Gordon.
Losing Josh Gordon. You know, he was a Hail Mary pass to begin with going after him. So the Patriots are hanging on right now. The Dolphins, it's not going to happen, but they're still in the running for the AFC East, crazy.
Like I said to someone in the building the other day who's a Dolphins fan, I said it's a shame that our teams are not that good because this is the year that the Patriots were primed to be picked off. And you know what? Everyone in the AFC seems to be limping into the playoffs except
the
Baltimore.
The Colts too.
The Colts are there.
Well, the Colts defense. They've allowed the least amount of points in the last 6 weeks.
Well, they get Andrew Luck back, and all of a sudden they look like the worst team in the NFL without him. And all of a sudden he comes back, and they're winning football games.
And New Orleans is looking good then. They have a letdown. I'm telling you, this is a year a wild card team can make a run for the Super Bowl. And it's about every 10 years the Ravens do this.
Yeah.
And their defense looks so good against the Chargers team that has had one of the most potent offenses over the second half of the season. And yet the Ravens just shut them down. And this is going to be a team to contend with. I'll tell you, anyone in the AFC right now is praying the Pittsburgh Steelers win because I think you'd much rather to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look at Lamar Jackson, 5-6-1 now.
Yeah.
In his games, scary. Listen, I'll just go right to it. I'll tell you this much. Caleb Herring this morning texted me and said that the Browns are going to cover an 8.5-point spread and beat the Bengals. Now, the Browns, are they 8.5 points better than the Bengals? The Bengals suck. Yes, they are, but I don't like the spread. I think that Cincinnati is going to cover. But Caleb took the Browns. We'll give him that. Mags, who you taking?
I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons laying 3 at Carolina. Normally, I'd stay away from a road team laying points, but Carolina's done. No Cam Newton. Tyler Heinicke gets his first start. Heineken, right? He's only thrown 4 career passes.
Yeah.
Short week. I think Atlanta goes into Carolina and they destroy Carolina today.
I think that's a good safe pick. I can't believe I'm doing this again, and I am doing it again. I just don't know why the Lions are only getting 5.5 points from the Minnesota Vikings. I don't care if this game's played in Ford Field or on the moon. I'm going to take the Lions and the points. I don't think they'll win the game. I think they'll cover the 5.5. Hey, I want to thank everyone for coming in studio today. Alan Snell on the road. Thank you all. This is Out of Line. We're here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9. I'm Brian Feldman. Look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks, Mags. And I also want to thank the Golden Knights that got involved. We're out. Bye-bye.